Welcome to She Struts Radio, where we give voice to women's stories, longings, pain, deepest heart's desires, and dreams, and support them in being unapologetically vocal, visible, and vulnerable women, happily claiming their place in the world. Now, here's your host, author and speaker, Deborah M. Ricks.
Welcome to She Struts Radio. As the nice lady said, this is your host, Deborah M. Ricks, and I am so glad that you decided to tune in this evening to talk about something that's really juicy and hot and provocative to me. And I have a wonderful guest with me this evening, and you will be my co-host, right? So that I come with your questions, your comments, and at the end of the show, toward like 30 minutes, as the show closes, I will open up the lines, and you know what to do. You press 1, and you can get in on this conversation. Yes, so let me just take a breath, because this is a topic that is really, really dear to my heart, and I can't tell you when it started. I just know that whenever I see the word vulnerable, I want to know more. And so I was on LinkedIn, and I saw a post. I think it was from Angela Bird, who is she's a PR person and extraordinaire. She's really about her business. She used to represent me, in fact. And I saw a post, and she had a post about fierce vulnerability. It's like, and I'm like, I like the word fierce too. In fact, I nicknamed myself that a couple of years ago at some ceremony I had at my center. And then I saw vulnerability, and I thought, wow, I don't know what, I thought it was a nonfiction book. And I commented, and next thing you know, we got the author on She Struts Radio. And we just briefly chatted before the show, and I love her already. She's got the energy I love. And we're going to have just a dynamic conversation. I really want you to get in on this, because one of the things about being vulnerable is it's all about taking risk and all about showing people who you really are, and I've been on this journey for a lifetime. But let me give you a little bit of an introduction to this dynamic woman. I'm not going to read her entire bio because she's very accomplished, and I'm sure that you will learn more about her as we go on, right? Her name is Sophia Casey, and they call her Coach Casey. She's considered an internationally recognized executive and life coach, corporate trainer, and media personality. And she is the founder of Sophia Casey Enterprises and mentor coach at Accomplishment Coaching. Now, she has some radio shows. She'll tell us if one of them. I think I listened to one of them today, a piece of it. So I'll read what's here, and she'll tell us if it's still in force and how you can connect with her and all of that. So in December 2013, she launched her first radio show, The Coach Casey Show, on WLTF Light 97.5 FM. And then in 2014, she started a very popular show about sex and relationships. I know some people that love to talk about that. I'm one of them. It's called The Playroom with Coach Casey. And I can see why, because she's a lot of fun. When you look at her picture, she looks all serious. I mean, she's kind of light. Yeah, she would be a good coach because she'd keep you in line. But she's like a bubbly, lot of fun kind of girl. And she's so the Martinsburg, West Virginia resident, is an alum of UCLA, baby, and Johns Hopkins University. Now, I pause because My mom is from down that way, from Bassett, yes. Virginia. When I saw that, I was like, Martinsburg, oh, my God. I didn't go down there when I was a kid, you know. They're like, I don't know nobody else but my mother.
And you haven't been back since?
I don't know. I used to go back with some of my relatives were transitioning, one of my aunties. So this is Sophia, Coach Casey. Welcome to She Stress Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm just tickled. I was like sitting in my seat trying to. I actually said, put your hand over your mouth so you can be quiet because I was getting so excited about so many things that you just said there. The one thing I want to say is I'm so glad to be here. I love, love, love just the mission of your show. And also, can I just say I love the name of the show? Every time I say it, I just picture myself in my nice 7-inch stilettos, and I'm just strutting. Hello, strutting.
Oh,
so I'm glad to be here.
Because when I named the show, and I thought to myself, you know, that's the one thing about, and you're a coach, I'm a coach, the one thing about being, when you start to carve out something, you're gonna leave out some other stuff. So I thought about it. At one point, I thought about changing the name, Sophia, and then I said, it pretty much excludes men. But then I said, but I'm really about women, so no. But then I said, no, I'm going to keep it because I've had it for a while now. And thank you, because that's exactly the image that I'd like for people to get. And one day I'm going to have my logo with that up there because that's exactly what I want women to feel when they hear that, because we should be strutting our stuff. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I love it. It actually just, you know, made me sit up a little taller, you know, get a little attitude, like, yes, I'm strutting.
Oh, that's what's up.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, Deborah is like, I feel like it doesn't exclude men because who's watching her strutting?
Mm-hmm. Oh, oh, my God, girl, you just nailed it. This is why we have to have conversations, because I can't think of all of that. I would have never thought about that, but that is indeed the truth. And listen, I have to tell you, just yesterday, I was in the gym, and I had just started this new gym, just joined this new gym. And I just thought the men didn't really notice me because they hadn't been saying anything much. And I was like, okay, well, that's cool, though, because I kind of didn't want to talk too much. And then this guy started waving at me yesterday. And then he came over, and he said, you know, you my eye candy. After the little small talk, he told me I was his eye candy. So, you know, like you said, who's
wow.
watching us strut anyway?
Absolutely. So I have it that this show is an equal opportunity show. It's for all people.
Thank you. Indeed. You're and welcome. Guess what? I usually have a lot. I do have a couple of men. One man, for sure, he's usually listening. So he's usually, I mean, he's my regular. So clearly, you're right about that. So he learned stuff about women he didn't know. I love it. So let's talk about fierce vulnerability. That's a mouthful. Fierce vulnerability. You got to say it fast. And so,
yes.
Yeah, what I want to do is I want to talk about, first, tell people, because I want them to get a sense of who you are. And let's start with title of the book and tell us a little bit about the book. And in doing so, then we're going to talk about Casey, where did this come from?
Yes, absolutely. I'll tell you that the name actually came from going through accomplishment coaching, their coaches training program. And one of the things as an ontological coach that we look at is like, what two things in your life just don't seem to go together? Like what two things that you actually cannot see coexisting? And for me, what I said in the program is, it's fierceness. Like, I'm so clear that I bring fierceness and people relate to me that way. Like, oh, my gosh, she just gets so much done. She's so fierce. She can create things. I'm a visionary. But I could never see being, is this a grown-up show? Can I talk like I want to talk?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh,
okay, good. You know, I related to myself. It's like, oh, I'm a badass, right? No problem with the fierceness. I was raised by predominantly women, very strong women, black women who didn't take any mess. So I had the fierceness down, but I could not imagine, I couldn't wrap my brain around how you can be fierce and at the same time be vulnerable. What I saw is vulnerability. Vulnerability equal weakness to me. I'm like, what? Vulnerable? That means you're like letting people walk over you. You're not strong. And so the title came to me instantly. It's like, how can I couple those two? So that's really where it came from.
Well, how did you couple those two? I know this is a story about women.
Tell us about those characters. It is about, and the title is Fierce Vulnerability, A Colored Girl's True Trials and Triumphs. And it really is, I'll say this, Deborah, look, I'm going to upset some other folks out there listening, but I actually, when I publicized that I was writing this book, I had people stop talking to me. I had women literally stop talking to me. People have been in my life a long time because they were nervous, you know, and I understand it now, but at the time I didn't. But they were like, don't put me in that book. Don't write about me in that book, right? And I think what it drove up is that we as black women, you know, we, like I said about me, we got the fierceness down. No problem there. You know, we've even coined some terms, ABW, angry black woman with the neck roll. We got the fierceness down. You cannot mess with us. You know, we can bring home the bacon fried up in the pan, do all that. And so a lot of people, or some people, I won't say a lot, some people were very nervous about what I was going to say in this book. And what it's about, like you say, you alluded to, it's about several black women, high salary earners, very powerful in their organizations, in their community, very well known. And I actually place the book and the characters in D.C. because I just love D.C., but very powerful, some of them political folks. No problem with the power. But what the book talks about and looks at is for these women, if we pull back the curtain, that fierceness curtain, what would we see? And for me, if you had pulled back, actually, you pull back my curtain now, you might see some stuff, but certainly years ago, as I've been developing and embracing my vulnerable side, you would have pulled back my curtain several years ago, you would have seen a hot mess, right? On the outside, no problem, got it going on. But behind the curtain, a lot of hot mess. And so what this book talks about is how to actually merge the two, merge your fierceness. Don't let that go. You guys hear me, right? I'm not suggesting that you let that go. Keep that fierceness. It works for us, but actually start to tap more into your vulnerability, your vulnerable side, connecting to people, trusting yourself, like actually showing people who you are and showing them in a transparent way. And I tell you, you know, if you had told me, you know, a year ago that I would be writing a book about, you know, letting my guard down and being more vulnerable, I would have been like, you crazy. I'm not doing that. I'm certainly not airing my dirty laundry. That is not going to happen. And the thing is because of this work as a coach, like you know, is the work of coaching and being coached is so powerful that it helped me see, like, there's actually a benefit. There's some value in me learning to balance the two. And not just being that badass, fierce woman, but being that, like what I now see as being fierce is being able to be transparent, being able to love like with my whole heart and not leave anything behind, not leaving anything on the table, not one morsel. Tough. It is tough. And so this book like really dives into the behind the drapes conversations and the behind the curtain stuff that's going on in a lot of our lives. And actually not to just be a voyeur, like just to look at like, ooh, girl, look what she got going on back there. It's not just to be a voyeur, but it's actually what my prayer is around this book is that it actually will support women in letting their guards down so that they can love more, so they can love deeper, so they can love themselves in a holistic way. So that's why I literally, you know, my thing is I'll get a vision or I'll get a method, and I get up and I start writing. And so that's really what it's about. It's what drove me to write it. It's real
I'm
juicy.
I'm going to tell you. Yes, indeed. Because I don't read a lot of fiction, that is. And
yeah.
But this is one book that I plan to get. I absolutely plan to get this book because as you were talking, I had so many questions, but
thanks.
I can't ask you all of them at once. So I'm just going to take my time and I'm going to do my best to explore this with you because so many thoughts came to me. What does vulnerability mean to you? You started talking about it, being transparent,
yeah.
Connecting with people. It's misunderstood by so many people.
Oh, my gosh, yes, it really is. You know, I have to credit Brené Brown for really putting the word vulnerability, like, on the map. Like, because before people were like, what? You know, they just related to it as weak. And I read a lot of her books, and I follow, okay, more like stalk her, but I do follow Brené Brown quite a bit. And what I have come to embrace as like my definition, right? I think it could be different for everybody, but for me, it's about trusting myself. It's about allowing people in, and like not keeping them far apart, you know, far apart from me. It's about trusting other people, and it's about trusting the divine. By trusting that somebody other than you has your best interest at heart, somebody other than you has a plan in place for you. Like, you don't have to spend your whole life, you know, grinding and scratching and scraping, you know, to make it to the top or to find love or to take care of your children. Like, there is, like, when I think about vulnerability, the word that keeps coming up to me, several words actually, is like taking risks. Like taking risks on love, knowing that there's a possibility that I might be hurt. And like I said, and also the other word that comes up is like support. You know, a lot of times, Deborah, I'm sure you probably can relate to this. A lot of us Black women are raised to be superwoman. We got to do it all. Like I said before, earn the money, you know, go buy the bacon, fry the bacon. You know, birth the baby. We gotta do it all. And I feel like, you know, decade after decade after decade, we have come to, like, embrace that as something, like, to be held up. Like, that's a wonderful trait to have, to be, like, grinding yourself down to the nub so that that you can be able to say, I did it. I did it all by myself. I'm an independent woman. And it's like what I'm learning is that you can still be that, but there's some power, there's a golden nugget in asking for and being able to receive support. There's a golden nugget in being able to take a risk on love. There's like value and benefit in trusting yourself and trusting others and trusting, you know, the omnipotent one that like others have your back and that you don't have to do it all. I don't know about your listeners or you, but I'm tired. Tired.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if we really talked, you know, if we really got in the sister circle and closed the door and we really talked and we really got vulnerable with each other, I imagine a lot of the conversations would be around us being tired, tired of holding up that facade that I have it all together. I don't need anybody. I'm good. You know, I actually heard a colleague of mine said, no, I don't need, you know, she's talking about her baby's father. Like, I don't need him. You know, you don't have to get it together. I'm a single parent. I'm going to work this out by myself. And I pulled her aside and I said, why? That ain't pretty. That's not a good look. That's not a good look. So what? I'm sure you can hold it all together. I'm sure you can do it all. I'm sure you can take care of your children. You're doing it now, but it's like you don't have to. It's like, you know, where did we get sold that ticket? Yes. Girl, I get passionate about this. You know, I'll keep going.
Yeah, Sophia, you got me full over here, woman. Let me tell you something. Stephen Covey makes it very clear. The highest level of functioning is interdependent, baby.
Yes.
There ain't no independent person on the planet. I'm sitting here.
Yes.
I got clothes on. I didn't sew not a stitch.
You didn't do
and
it at all.
This computer, if my life depended upon it, I couldn't have made a Mac, okay? And that's just the obvious, right? But in every facet of my life and your life and the lives of our listeners, we need other people and we rely upon other people. You're driving down the street, you pray and you trust that that person on the other side will stop at that red light so that you can proceed. So we're not independent. And so I'm so fired up by what you said because it so resonates with me on so many levels. And I have to say this, when you got a woman, and I had that thought for about 15 minutes after I had my baby before I had my baby. That's what it was. Before I had my baby, I thought I could have a child without her father really being involved. And once I had my baby, guess what I thought? I had a new thought, talking about new thought. You know what I said? Wait a minute. She needs him.
Oh my God, I love
so
that.
So when a woman says, "I don't need him," how selfish are we when we say, "Oh, you need him when he gave you some penis"? I'm just talking like my New York friend, okay?
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
God, you sound like my New York friend Jackie.
Jackie. My friend, New York friend Leticia calls a penis just straight up. That's what it is. Getting that good penis. Well, when she was getting that good penis, right, she needed him. But now that the things happen and the child is here, you don't care enough about your child to get yourself out of the way so your child can have a relationship with that man. That's what we're talking about. You have to, when you're talking about vulnerability, it is so deep and wide. It's like as wide as the Atlantic when you consider the beauty of it. The beauty of it, because, and I want to say this one more thing. Vulnerability makes us a whole person. My mother told her girls growing up, never let them see you cry.
Yeah.
And she was talking about the men in our lives. And I tried that for into my 20s and maybe my 30s. And it was just what you said. I remember a guy would leave my house and because I couldn't let him see me cry or tell him, because if I'm not crying in front of him, I'm not telling him in all likelihood that this hurt, what you just said or did or what you didn't do.
Yeah.
It hurt. Because that's vulnerability instead of being angry, because that's why we get the angry black woman thing, because behind the anger is hurt. And fear.
Absolutely.
And so, but when I started, girl, I said, you know what? I can take my clothes off. You're telling me, wait a minute. My mom, I'm going to have to let that go, mama. That ain't going to work for me no more because.
Mama,
I
love you, but that ain't going to work.
I love you, but that ain't working for me no more because it ain't going to kill me. I need to talk to him. I need to tell him. And so I'm still learning. I'm still learning, like, how I tell a man or anybody that you hurt me, that what you said or did, that hurt me. And guess what? The beauty of that is the connection that you talked about. That's how that happened.
Absolutely.
We're not connected
through
anger. We don't get connected through anger and all of that. But we just create havoc. We have the breakdowns, the breakups, the runaways and all of that. And so you covering the – I'm like – we have to have these conversations. We have to have workshops.
Yes.
Yes.
And exclamation point.
Vulnerability conferences. Because we're killing ourselves with the food and the shopping and we're running ourselves in the ditch. because we won't be vulnerable. We don't even know the connection. It's all connected.
No, it's like I love that because it's like we're walking around, you know our American society is throwing to these zombie shows now. And I'm like, you know, I have it that people are so into it because it's entertaining or whatever. But, you know, there's some truth to that that really rings home is that it's like so many of us are walking around like zombies, like not connected to what we're doing, not connected to our families, not connected to people. Like how many times or when was the last time you actually talked to somebody and you looked them in their eye the whole time? And they looked you in your eye the whole time, not being on your cell phone, not multitasking on the computer, like you really actually connected soul to soul with them. Like I took that on this past last couple of weeks of like I'm just going to focus on looking people in their eyes while they're talking. And let me tell you, it was so uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable. Like, for the first couple of days, I was like, I don't know. I feel like they might be like, you're weird. Why are you staring at me? And some people did get uncomfortable with it. Like, when I just gave them my complete attention, like, really try to connect with them. And the thing is like, what you said, like, the connection is missing. And I'm really, I'm focused on all people. I want all people to be more connected. But I'm really focused on our sisters. I'm like, I feel like we are those walking zombies, like walking around, like you said, just buying more stuff, getting more bags, more shoes. And Lord knows I love my shoes now, but like getting more bags, getting more shoes, getting more stuff, you know, to try and fill a gaping hole that's inside of us. And that hole is connection. And like, so what I talk about in the book and what I talk to, you know, clients about and what I talk to people about is, like, that is the work. To me, that's the work I should be doing on this planet. Not filling that hole, not filling that gaping hole with another purse. I don't need another purse. You know, and I don't want to deny people anything. You know, you like stuff, go buy me, you know, by all means, go get it. But, like, to really fill that void in us, I really believe that part of the avenue, it may not be the only road, but I believe that one of the most significant roads to filling that gaping, open heart, that open wound, is actually learning to be vulnerable and connected with people.
I totally agree. And as you said, and Brene Brown, of course, everybody knows Brene Brown if you even know the word.
Yeah.
You cannot. I actually did some research, and so I was trying to upload something, but I didn't. But I've got some writing, and I got them here right in front of me, right? And I love her, and I posted it on Facebook, and I was getting some feedback from people, and she was just saying that that we often associate vulnerability with weakness, and we'll do all kinds of emotional backflips to avoid it. We get angry, we shut down, we run away, or blame the other person.
Oh, definitely that one.
We see these tactics protect us, but they can actually make us more likely to get hurt. Because we end up pushing away the very people we're trying to connect to, or not even realize how deeply we feel about something until it's already lost. Now, this is from an article. These weren't all her words, but her words are here.
Mm-hmm.
She says, weakness often stems from a lack of vulnerability. When we don't acknowledge how and where we are tender, we are most at risk of being hurt. And let us just breathe for a minute, because I'm going to tell you, girl.
Yeah, I got to breathe that one in.
I'm going to tell you, I have been on this journey to become more vulnerable. And in doing so, I'm learning how to acknowledge where I'm tender.
Yeah.
I posted up the other day on Facebook that I'm learning, like, some I had a situation. I'll just tell you. I won't tell you, of course, I don't call people out and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But I was on a call, a teleconference, a call of women, and it was all about women and embracing our feminine, our sacred feminine and all, reclaiming all of that good stuff. And I was on this call, and there were women on there, and I hadn't been getting on this call. I've been on there about 5 times, actually. It was a weekly call. And the host, you know, she did her teaching piece, and she opened it up, and she asked us to comment, you know, if we had anything to add. And so I stepped into a community that had already kind of had people, they knew each other in a way that I didn't know them, and I'm getting to know them. So just to set that up, that makes you more vulnerable. So I started to share, and I shared something, and she came back with a very forceful voice, and just forceful, and I can be forceful. So, but it didn't feel like an attack as much as I was being misunderstood in a way, and she was challenging me in a way that felt that it touched my tender place, and I felt hurt. And so I wanted to clean it up because I was feeling hurt, and I wanted to. And she wouldn't let me speak. She said, "No, hold on now." And she said she let someone else speak, right? And she's like, she cut me off, wouldn't let me speak, and so I felt really hurt. And when the other person spoke, and then somebody else spoke, and then she said, "I know Deborah is trying to get in here. I know she's chomping at the bit or something. She's trying to get in here." And then I said, "No, no, I'm at peace. I'm complete." And so I get off the call, right? I get off the call because what I had made up my mind at that point was that I didn't want to defend my position because that's not what I want to do anyway. But at the same time, some other part of me was also at play. And I saw this has been a few days. It just happened this week. And I posted something on Facebook about I'm learning to acknowledge I'm strong, but I'm also sensitive. And let me tell you, I didn't go into the detail, but I said I'm learning to sometimes remove myself, and sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you need to be in those places. And I said, I'm learning to sometimes remove myself from those places. And so I went on. But my point is, I've had enough time to kind of grapple with myself, and I plan to get back on. But at first, I was like, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. No.
Like, bye, Felicia.
Yeah. Bye, Felicia. Right. You know? But I said, I'm going back. Now, I'm not going to go into why, but the reason I brought that up is because one of the things is this thing is multifaceted, and one of the things myself, I'm going to speak about me. Sometimes I'm hurting people's feelings because I got this hard thing, you know, I got this fierceness you talk about. Sometimes we don't even know we're hurting people's feelings, and we really don't have to approach it that way. There is a way that you can, if you got a call and you're talking about embracing the sacred feminine, to me, feminine is about being soft and receptive and learning how to do that. And when you got a new person on the block amongst you, then there's a way of handling it. And I'm not going to make this person wrong, but in reality, all of us, Like we're on both sides of it. How do I treat people like I know that they're tender?
Yes.
And how do I acknowledge when my tender little feelings have been hurt? And even if I have to do it to myself, because sometimes I have to acknowledge it. I'll cry like a baby sometimes because I know I need to cry. I'll cry like a baby, and then I'll be okay. But I have to cry like a baby because if that's what happens, a lot of us don't cry like a baby.
I love a good ugly cry.
Me too, girl. Me too. That's the kind of cry that's healing you.
Yes, it is. Let me schedule that next Thursday at 2:00. A good ugly cry.
I love that. And you're like, and you be like the Grinch. If somebody wants to meet with you, you said, I cannot cancel that again. I got a appointment with myself with an ugly cry, and listen, I cannot cancel that again. Okay?
Leave me alone.
Leave me be. So I love that, that you scheduled your ugly cries. That's a blog or something right there. You got
that's a tweetable.
You got it.
Schedule your ugly cry.
That's tweetable. You got to ink them in. Don't pencil them in. You got to ink in that ugly cry because that's clearing out the toxins and the hurt. And
yes. The oh, that's so good.
Go ahead, girl. I love talking to you.
All right, write this one down. Schedule ugly cry.
Ink it in, girl. Schedule that ugly cry. But that's what you're talking about. That's what you're talking about. Because when I didn't allow myself to even acknowledge some of the things that I'm able to acknowledge now, I had to go shopping. I remember breaking up with a man, and I ended up in Marshalls in a long line with a lot of clothes, and I was like, "How did I get here?" Because I didn't know how to schedule an ugly cry. You know, I was like,
"Oh my
go
God!"
Shopping.
You really just hit on something right there. It's like, you know, even there's even vulnerability. It's a vulnerable space to let people go. You know, how many of us have been dragging the same people around year into year into year into new year into new year? You know, talking to our girlfriends about them, though. Girl, she get on my nerves. Girl, he is no good. But here we are, new year, 2016. We didn't drug them on across into the new year. And it's like you have to really be in touch with your vulnerability. But you have to be willing to be vulnerable to let people go. Because it's scary. It's scary. Even though we portray like, oh, nah, you know, whatever, bye, Felicia. Like, sometimes that can hurt. I've had to let family members go. Best friends. It's really, really tough. And I know, I'm sure there are women out there listening to me right now. And they're like, we keep dragging those people into another year and another year and another year because we're scared to let them go. I mean, even if we talk about it on a romantic level.
Talk about what you do, because this is where I know that woman, right? And
I know her too, me.
So let's talk about, because I think that's so significant. I love that. I never would have thought about that in the context of vulnerability. So, So Sophia, so then talk about who you are, what must we do before we let them go? How do we get to that place? And then what do we need to do after we let them go so that we don't double back? We don't go back.
Look. As my minister grandmother would say, don't backslide. You know, and the thing is, it's like, you know, and I imagine that answer is different for everybody, but, you know, all I can speak about is my truth. And the thing is I know that I would keep dragging the same person to the next year and the next year and the next year. And the reason I was doing that, and it may resonate with some of the folks out there listening, is that I kept doing that because I was scared. I didn't want to be alone. I had abandonment issues. You know, my mother was married 5 times. So you can imagine how many times we moved, right? Place to place to place to place. As a young child, what I learned is the world is not safe, and people leave you over and over and over and over again. So I grew up trying to overcompensate for that, like never wanting to feel that feeling again. Let me cover that up. And the way I covered it up, be in toxic relationships and keep dragging them into the next year and the next year and the next year. So that's my truth. And it's like, you know, I'm curious. I can't wait till, you know, we have callers because I'd be curious to know what it is for other people. And so you ask, what do we do before? I had to have support because that codependency that I was experiencing with these people in my lives, carrying them over, letting them just beat me up. And I don't mean physically. Like, we know we got that going on, too, out there in the world. But beat me up, beat up my spirit over and over and over again, and me beat my own spirit up over and over again, trying to please them and trying to be the right person for them and all of that madness. I didn't have any support. I didn't have, you know, I feel like we're so blessed now that we have, like you talked about earlier, we have these workshops, we have, you know, social media, we have Facebook groups, we got some help. We have some help out there, right? We have coaches. Well, let me give my plug for the coaches. You know, you got Deborah, you got Coach Casey, you got support out there. And so the thing I would tell people to do, what you do before, is make sure you get yourself an anchor of support. Because you know what happens. We do just what we talked about. We backslide. You know, when he comes over there and he just kind of, you know, nibbles on your ear a little bit, tells you you're looking all good. Now, you just talked last week to your girlfriend about how horrible he is, how he mistreats you, how he doesn't respect you as the queen that you are. But your girlfriend's not there in the wee hours of the morning to you. You know, your girlfriend's not there in your heart and your soul that has that big gaping wound in it. So it's easy to get pulled back in. It's easy to backslide back into that relationship. So the thing I tell people is you got to get some type of support that is strong enough to remind you, girlfriend, you're tripping, to remind you to not be afraid of hurting your feelings so they can say to you, let me remind you of what you said last Friday, right? And the thing is, it's like our friends aren't always those people. Our family members are not always those people who will be real with us. And so that's truly my shameless plug for a coach. Because my coach, she'll tell me in a minute, she's like, I don't care if you get mad. You can even fire me if you need to. But while we're working together, I'm going to keep it real with you. And I'm going to tell you what you may not want to hear. So whatever it is for you, a coach,
yeah, you can
a,
or for
after,
that.
Yes, absolutely. I remind her all the time. That's what I'm paying you for. I pay her a pretty penny. You know, whatever it is, but your minister, a therapist, whoever it is, but you got to have somebody who is going to be able to be off the court, like not tied, not on the court with you, but actually be able to, like, hover above your life and hover above your drama of the day and hover above your madness and be able to remind you, no, this is not it. Let me remind you of what you said. Because I'm the first one. Look, I'm not saying anything tonight that I have not experienced for myself. There have been many a time, you know, when they call me one more time, I say, oh, just one more time, just one more. My niece used to say, one more again, just one more again. Like, you know, just one more time. I won't get caught up. I just, you know, let them come over one more time.
But that's the danger right there.
Right there. Right there. And we know our hearts and our souls know that this is not the move. This is not the move.
No.
And then we look up, and 5 years later, guess what? You roll over, he's still there.
Yeah.
Well, she's still there. They still
and
there.
And you sunk. But you're not still there. You're not. You're less than
right.
You could be. You're not still there
right.
Because your self esteem is lower than it was 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years
yes.
ago, 1 year ago. Your self esteem, oh, without a doubt,
absolutely.
Been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. Okay.
And
what I
yes.
You know what I mean. I got the T-shirt. I was there. I would say to anyone listening, because I've been there, you know, my second book is about breakups. I've had
yes.
enough of them, so I can talk about it, and the women that talked about it, they can share some things with you if you want the book. That's a shameless plug. Why did he break up with me?
I love
and
it.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, though. As I'm listening to you, you know, there you do need support, and is what one coach I know calls capable community. You need a capable community, not the community of people who who's going to tell you, like one woman told me when I was in a relationship years ago, well, my mom and dad had been married for 45 years, and my mother had to stay until my father did such and such, and he found, now he's a good, well, honey, I'm not your mother, okay?
No.
And I'm not going to stay in a relationship for 40 years, and then now he's good. Oh, he's good now. I've been beat up, you know, left, neglected, and
but
he
all
like,
right right now.
Yeah, I look like a runaway slave, and now you gonna tell me it's time for me to live? Oh no, it don't work like that. So one of the things I want to say is this, and if anybody's listening, and one of the things that I have learned, I think it's so important when you decide that something, you got to let go of something. And if it's a lover, a relationship, it could be a friendship. It could be with a woman. But I'm talking about with, intimate, significant
other.
Yeah. They got a hold on you. They got a hold on you in a way that a good friend doesn't have a hold on you. Because if you're not sleeping with a good friend, because there's something that happens, we know, with those chemicals and all that stuff that happens in our bodies when we make love, when we have sex with people. So let's just focus on that, and I will tell you this. I have learned to stop having contact with the person, because if you answer the phone, if you make the call, first of all, sometimes you make the call, but if you call to the person or if you responded to the person, you have opened the gate, and you know you're not strong enough. You already know what's up. And so I say that's one of the challenges. That's the thing that it's like, I used to work in drug recovery, and they used to tell people who were recovering from drugs, they would always say, if you go in the barbershop enough times, you're gonna get a haircut. You know, you can say you're going in there with a friend. You know, so they're telling the people, like, okay, you're talking about you going to a crack house, but you ain't smoking crack. Okay, keep going to the crack house. You will be smoking crack, okay? So if you go in the barbershop every day with your friend, you're going to get a haircut. One day you're going to be in that chair getting a haircut. So if one of the things that happens to us, because we are human beings and we have desires and needs, and we have this thing that we're connected with that person, talking about connection, through oxytocin, that chemical that gets from the brain that bonds you with somebody. And a lot of times we get bonded with people on an intimate, sexual, psychological basis, but they're not good for us. They're just not good for us.
Yeah.
We're bonded now. That's why I like to do the Steve Harvey 90-day rule, because you could be bonded to some crazy person or somebody that's really toxic. But if you take your time, then you'll get to see who they are. So people think, I can't sleep with them anyway, so I may as well sleep with them tonight. I just met them yesterday, but I'm going to sleep with them tonight. You don't know who you're sleeping with.
We get weak. It's understandable. It's like I just want to, to normalize it. Hello, we got needs, just like you said. And my thing is, every now and then you may need to do the, bang bang, and I'm out. But the thing is, it's like if you are really practicing vulnerability, which I have as authenticity, if you really know who you are, like you said, you know you are no match for that person coming over at 11:59 p.m.
Mm-mm.
Ain't nothing good gonna happen after 11:58.
Now, something good will happen, but tomorrow morning you will be looking at yourself.
It might not be good for you.
Right. It'll be good to you. But it won't be good for you, because you already know the drill. You know that this person is toxic. And some of the I gotta say this, since we grown up, some of the best lovers are the most toxic people you ever want to meet. I don't know what that is. But anywho, and I'm not saying all of them, but I mean I've had my share, and they can, because they know how that touch. And let me say this, Sophia, as black women, now, if we are not nourishing ourselves, nurturing ourselves,
taking care of ourselves in these other ways.
Ooh,
we're
yeah.
more vulnerable. We're more vulnerable to that. We have.
Yeah.
Is there any wonder that when he calls, we give in? Because if we are not nurturing ourselves in other ways that take care of us and make us feel good, we're looking for somebody to make us feel good on the inside, like the woman said,
yeah.
beloved. I want to feel good on the inside. You don't want to feel good on the inside. You know? You ain't doing nothing on the outside to feel good.
I just had that visual. I can see her saying it too. But it's so,
right.
so true. It's so
you
true. We're looking for somebody to fill up those holes. Fill up those holes
wow.
in that bucket.
So
please
I'm going
to
pause here. We're going to pause here for a minute because I want you to do a couple of things. Because you and I, we could go on for 6 hours.
Woo! So good. It's so good.
So that just means you got to come back on the show. That's all.
I'm so ready.
That's all that
happily.
Means. You got to come back on the show so we can have part two and maybe part three, because this it's really important because it's so textured and layered. Because
yes.
when you think about, you know, all the things we're talking about, we may be laughing, but we know that this is very serious. If you are being a hard, badass woman, I'm Miss Independent and all that,
yeah.
you are at more risk to giving in to things that don't serve you because you're not nurturing your true self. You're not taking care of your true self. So, of course, when something feels good, come along, sounds good in your ear, you may be smelling good too, it's going to
mm-hmm.
be hard to say no to that. You,
that's
you
mine.
You
the smelling good.
Good.
The smelling good gets me.
I know that gets me too.
Gets me. Oh yeah.
Ain't that the truth? Oh, smelling good, man, is a good
Woo.
Thing. But let's not go get. So anyway,
thank
so,
God, my husband.
For what?
I said, thank God, my husband's nearby. Yes, the smell good.
Oh, she. Look, we coming up with all the movies. She's married now.
So she's married now.
She's
and
married
that
now.
Only
so.
Because, that is only because I had to find some vulnerability because otherwise that was not predictable, let me tell you.
So I want to hear that story, and I bet you if I know my listeners as well as I know them, they want to hear that story because let me tell you, that is a good – I want to hear because here's the deal. I'm convinced that, and I'm going to just throw some more stuff in there, girl. That's why you really do have to come back because I hear a lot of talk about a lot of black men are fed up with black women and their independence, right? All this, oh, I'm a black, strong black. They're fed up with the angry black woman. They're fed up. We might be fed up with them, but they're fed up with us. And so they're fed up with all this, you know, I don't need a man. And I don't blame them. And so here we go. So if all of this stuff is about, we don't know how to be vulnerable. And then I had a woman on the show. She was on about 3 weeks ago, and she wrote a book. And the new title, I can't even remember the new title hardly, but the old title was Don't Let the White Girl Win. And so for the new title, and all with all respect to her,
Lord.
New title is The Black Girl's Guide to Winning That Love and Life. But the old title, she was saying how white women see because we have lost this ability, a lot of us, to be vulnerable. And when you think about
yeah.
being a woman and with your man, if you can't say to your man that he hurts you and instead you're going to go off on him with the frying pan or curse him out, you know what I mean, all that kind of stuff, it ain't going to go over so well. It ain't going to work. It's not going to be good. But the reality is, the flip side is for us to say, baby, that really hurt when you didn't want to, you know, like I had a woman, she said she gave her husband a special, you know, like an anniversary. They had been married like 18 years or 12 years, good little length of time. And she went all out for him. And then after she, you know, did what she did, he didn't want to. He went out with the boys, and But he left the house, and can you imagine that you did all this on your anniversary, and he goes out after that, and she wanted to, you know, wrap it up with some lovemaking and all of that, and he went out. So that would have been a time which I talked to her. I said, listen, you know, that's, hey, he didn't even know you. He hurt you. And I said, but I didn't get the feeling she had shared that she just kind of sucked it up. And I'm sure it came out some kind of way.
Yeah, and then 1 year turns into 15.
Illnesses come out of this.
Absolutely.
All kinds of stuff comes out of our inability. Yeah. All kinds of stuff comes from our inability to be vulnerable. Because
we
treat ourselves like
this.
Yeah. So, I'm going to take a break because we got to let these people in. Somebody's going to have a question, a comment, or something.
So good. Y'all better get in because we're going to keep going.
They better get in where they fit in, right? And so I got to fit, since I am the host, I should fit my people in.
I guess we can get them in, yes.
So I guess I should have a little respect. Let me just simmer down, as my nephew would say. I'm going to take a little interlude, a little music. When we come back,
nice.
We're going to open up the call. We're going to allow people, they know what to do. You press 1 if you have a comment or question. And because I know it's resonating because this is whether you're a man or a woman, this resonates with you on some level. And so get your questions ready, and we're going to be taking them upon our return. Meanwhile, we're going to play a little music to calm myself down.
Bring my adrenaline down just a little bit, too.
Yeah, just a little bit. I need
it. Flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. Yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. Woo. And I'm feeling good. Fly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies are having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this whole world is a new world and a bold world for me. I'm feeling.
Wow.
Woo! Deborah, I'm not even sure
yes.
I can finish this show after that song.
Oh, my God.
Lord have mercy. You're about to have me shouting over here. It's a new day. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you carry a little tone, too. Go ahead, girl.
Well,
I like you.
Wait a minute. That song was supposed to calm me down. It didn't work.
I know. I was thinking the same thing, girl. I was like saying to myself, okay, wrong song, but it makes me feel good.
Ooh. No, that was the right song.
Oh, it was the right song? Okay.
That was
Thank you.
And
you're welcome, and I really love it. It was Lauryn Hill singing Nina Simone's song.
Yeah, she sounded so much like Nina,
and I had the other version. I got the original one with Nina. I love my sister, Nina Simone.
I cannot believe how much she sounded like Nina Simone. I did not realize that was Lauryn Hill. Oh, my goodness.
That's why I wanted to share with people, because even as I was listening, I was saying, thinking it was Nina, and then I looked at it, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's the Lauryn Hill version. Go ahead, Lauryn. Go ahead, sister girl.
So good.
Yes.
Woo,
yes.
Girl, I don't even smoke, but I feel like I need a cigarette after that.
You're so crazy. Oh, I love it. I love having this conversation with you, and I do want to have you back. And I don't say that to everybody. So don't even, this is not just trying to make you feel good. I love this conversation. It's an important conversation.
Yes.
And the thing about a conversation is that it needs to be ongoing. It needs to continue.
Yes.
You need to keep at it, because I know for me, I am working on that, and I have seen myself make some great strides. I am really seeing that, because I share things about myself. Once upon a time, honey, you would not know anything about me if it wasn't, I didn't think it was favorable.
Mm-hmm.
No, not Deborah.
Oh, I can relate.
No. But now I have seen, and you mentioned it actually in the blurb of your book, something about there's beauty and there's power in sharing and being transparent and sharing even your losses and your pain. And that's really how we connect with people, because nobody is perfect. And if we present ourselves like we got it all together, then those are the folks that are in more pain. The people, they're in more pain than the people. They're in more greater pain. So what I wanted you to do right now is tell people how they can connect with you, so that we won't be at the end of the show just like trying to rush it, how they can connect with you. And I will tell you folks that Sophia Casey is the author of Fierce Vulnerability, and it's a book. Do you have a date?
Yeah, so in the May, we're actually going to get it on Amazon pre-order the very first part of May. I'm pushing. And Angela Bird, shout out to Angela, pushing me too. But yeah, it'll be out in a couple months.
She's awesome. You're awesome.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's beautiful. So Fierce Vulnerability, and give us the subtitle, because I don't have it in front of me at the moment.
Yes. The subtitle really speaks to my life, and the subtitle is A Colored Girl's Truth, Trials and Triumphs. You know, I thought it was so important to those three words, and they just came to me, just like the name did, just like the title did, but you know, it's about telling the truth. You know, your grandmother used to say, tell the truth and shame the devil. It's so important for us to speak our own truth. Like, there's liberation in speaking our truth. That is vulnerability, actually speaking your truth. And then the book talks about the trials, too, right? Because it's not all rose colored. There's some ugly stuff in this book. And like I said, you know, there's some people who aren't very happy with me, because I didn't pattern it after anybody specific, but I took it's a compilation of a lot of people, including myself. I'm not leaving myself out. And so it's about the trials that we face every day, still facing. And then it's also about the triumphs, right? Because we can win at life. It doesn't always have to be about the trials and the being downtrodden. There are a lot of truths in this book, and there are a heck of a lot of triumphs in this book too. So I want you to know that, you know, it's not rose color. It's going to be some ugly stuff in here and some stuff that may drum up some stuff for you as you read it, but there are some triumphs as well. So, yes, Fierce Vulnerability, A Colored Girl's Truths, Trials, and Triumphs.
Yeah, well, the word wholeness keeps walking through my mind. To be whole is to have all of that. To be whole is to show up letting people know that you have all of that. And the reason why our men, many of them don't show up for us in the way that they might would show up for us is because if I pretend I got it all together, then why, if I'm a man, why do I feel a need to give you anything, support, You got this. And a man, we know, everybody knows a man needs to feel needed. But if you got this, you got everything. You got everything. And you, I ain't nowhere, I don't even fit in. There ain't nothing I need. I don't need to lift you up. I don't need to pick you up. I don't need to pick up your laundry. I don't need to soothe you when you, because you got this.
No, you got it.
But why would a man show up anyway for you?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You know not what you say.
You know?
Yes, yes. I will tell you that, you know, I promised to talk a little bit about some of my trials and my truths and my triumphs. I actually married my husband. We got married after knowing each other for 70 days. Yes, 70.
Woo, I like
70
it.
Days. 70 days from the moment I met him to the moment I said I do, and that was truly a test of vulnerability, right? But one of the things that he has taught me is that there is power. Like, I get power by, having him lead. I get power and taken care of by letting a man be a man. And I'm telling you, like I said at the top of the hour, it's like I was raised by a village of strong, some overbearing women. I learned that men were weak. Like, you can't rely on a man. A man's going to let you down. A man is not to be relied upon. Like, a man's going to lie. Like, I learned all of this stuff. And so meeting my husband, like, my soul literally, like, it's like leaped out of my chest and connected to him. I had never, ever experienced anything like that before. And that, thus, I married him after 70 days. And we're going on 8 years. Hallelujah. Hello. Hallelujah. And
Sophia, I need you to pause. That's so significant to me.
Yeah.
I just need you to pause, because what it tells me is that it doesn't take forever for someone to know that they belong together, they want to be together. You see, and women, a lot of times, I've been strung along, women have been strung along with men, I don't know, yeah, maybe, you know, just like Mary J. Blige said, you get sold a promise. So 8 years and 70 days. That's a title of something. I don't know.
Yes, and we're coming on 8 years. You know, we're on the home stretch for the 8 years, and I tell you that. But we made a promise to each other that, you know, if it lasted 6 days, if it lasted 60 years, we're going to be grateful. And I really think that's what has kept us going. But the other part is I was that woman that you talked about. Like, you know, I'm independent. I don't need a man. I'm good. And Lord knows I done dibbled and dabbled in everything under the sun to prove that I didn't need a man. Don't need him. And actually it said, you know, many times, like, I don't need to get married for what? My mother was married 5 times. What do you think my view of marriage is? I don't need that. And the thing that my husband taught me is that I could actually experience the route, the path for me to experience real love, deep connection, like soul-to-soul love, is for me to lean back, like lean back. I had never done that. And I still, like I said before at the beginning of the show, I'm still in process. I have not mastered this. Let me be really clear and let me be vulnerable and very honest. I have not, and I still forget, and I fall forward, and I push, and, you know, I'll be on travel and still trying to micromanage what he's doing 3,000 miles away because I'm still in process with this. But the thing is that the part about being vulnerable, where vulnerability comes in, is that I'm willing to practice. I'm willing to listen to him. I'm willing to, you know, to take a look and say, you might have a point there. You know, my husband, you know, I'm so high energy. I guess you could tell that. But lots of adrenaline, lots of high energy, and my husband will sometimes just come, like, put his hand in the middle of my back and just say hi. You know, and he's Jamaican, so he says it in that beautiful accent. So that just immediately calms me down.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
But that's being vulnerable.
Oh,
that's being vulnerable and letting him lead and trusting him.
But you laid out the welcome mat for him.
Yeah.
You see? And that's what I'm doing, baby. I'm practicing too, and I want to practice with
a
man. It's going to happen. And so I 70 days, if you could do it in 70 days, I might be able to do it in 69 days. I don't know. But let me just let the folks know. Because I believe, girl, I love it. I love good stories. I want people to know, please don't wait till 7:58, but press 1 if you have a question. Just one question. Just somebody.
Mm.
One question. I know somebody listening, you got a question. Casey, but I want to call her Casey, but I keep calling Casey, but their name is
Sophia. Okay. Everybody
Casey.
Does.
I mean, that other one just comes out. So Sophia Casey, she's the author of Fierce Vulnerability, and her book is coming out in May, the end of May, and you want to get this book. I didn't see a title, any other title, so even if you don't know the subtitle, Fierce Vulnerability is the title. Get the book. I plan to get it, and then I definitely want to have her back on because I'm going to read the book, and we're going to talk some more about this because my mother is one of the most stoic people I know on the planet.
Mm.
And of course it takes us practice. If we've observed this in our families, our mothers, my grandmother was scary to me because she had this booming voice and she didn't take no stuff. I thought she was
mm-hmm.
I mean, she was like,
look, those are the grandmothers that you call my dear, my dear.
No, she made my dear look like Little Red Riding Hood. Okay, honey, she had 18 children. She had a farm. She had an orchard. She had a store. She had a husband. She ran that program. You hear me? Down there in Martinsville, Vance, Virginia. That's where she was. So I'm just telling you that. So, and then my mother is so stoic. My mother doesn't, you know, it's like I asked her how she feel about something, you know, like, she don't feel nothing. If you feel this, then you... because, I mean, something like many of her children didn't call her on her birthday. And I said, well, how do you feel about that? She just shook her head. I didn't feel nothing. Can you not feel nothing? Your children don't call you on your birthday. You just turned 94 years old.
She felt something.
But
she
that's my
something.
Point. Okay, here's a caller. Because we can go on. Okay, 917. You'll be back.
917-445. Welcome to She Struts Radio.
Thank you ever so much, Deborah M. Ricks. And
You're welcome
to your guest. Thank you so ever much. You ladies are having, y'all got me cracking up on this end here. I love the energy. I love the energy. And I find myself in so many places where, I guess we all have been in this place where we all at one time or another in our lives with, you know, being independent, you know, not being dependent on someone. But, yeah, I got this. I don't need you. The only thing you can do for me, and I can still do that by myself. You know what I'm saying, right? And I can still do it myself. You know, but you, what I really truly come to learn, because for me, I would say, no, I don't need anyone. I don't need anyone. But in truth, yes, I do. It's not so much of a need, but God created us for, you know, to be have someone with us. And to deny yourself, you know, I've been denying myself that for so long till it almost became my real truth that I don't need no one. I don't need the touch of a man. You know? Yes, I do.
I need that.
And in all honesty, I do desire it.
Yeah.
But because of the things, the thoughts, the attachments that I hold on to keep me from being hurt, building that wall, that shield, I'm good. With a smile on my face on the outside and on the inside, just bawling in tears. Please, why will you not allow yourself to be vulnerable and allow yourself to accept and receive love from someone else?
Yeah.
How do you give the love to yourself when you will not allow someone else to come in? So how much loving are you doing for yourself?
That is so beautiful. So beautiful. I tell you, I just so appreciate you calling in because it's so much juiciness in all that you said. But one of the things that the word selfish, you know, like we when we think about that word, we think like we're being selfish to others, like we're not giving something to somebody else. And it's just what you said, by you denying yourself the touch of another person, the soul connection with another person, you're depriving yourself.
Yeah.
You're depriving yourself. And the thing is, I tell women all the time, it's like, you know, I am not the independent police. I don't have an issue with you being independent. I'm independent. I always will be. I told my husband that part is not going to change. I love being able to do things on my own. But the thing is, you can stay independent. I'm not trying to rob you of that, right? We don't want to rob anybody of their independence. But the thing is, I believe this, like as black women and women, period, not just black women, but we people, period, we get it in our head that we cannot have it all. We can't be independent and be loved. We can't be, you know, strong and at the same time giggle when he touches us right there.
Right.
You know, like they cannot coexist. Oh, I got goosebumps. Oh, Deborah, I should have warned you. When I get goosebumps, we're in trouble. Oh, yeah. Goosebumps means trouble. Goosebumps means the spirit is speaking.
Yeah, the spirit. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Goosebumps means y'all in trouble. No. But the thing is, it's like you – I feel like, you know, decade, like I said earlier, decade after decade after decade, we've been taught and we've embraced that we can only have this or that or this or that. We can have it all. And having it all means I'm independent. I'm sure of myself. And I need my man. I need him.
Ain't that the truth, honey? Oh,
like, yeah. I am not going to sugarcoat him. I need Mr. Casey.
I know that's right, babe. I love
and
it. And you know
yes,
what?
And I deserve
there's
it.
No shame in saying the word need. We confuse
None.
It with neediness. They're not the same. Neediness
they are not
is
the
when
same.
You're not taking care of yourself emotionally. That's neediness.
Mm-hmm.
But to need mm-hmm. someone, we all need someone. And I really would caution us to even think that we're independent. I think we need to start using the word we're interdependent. Because there's this independence,
oh, yeah.
when, especially when black women say it, it is loaded. It's like some words, just because they're loaded for us, if we keep using it, it means something when that man hears it. And I know that I did a workshop with men, all men, and one of the black men, he was in his 50s, he said, and he said it with such sadness, such a good brother, too. He said that, he said, why do black women say, I don't need a man? He said, they're the only women that say that. And I listened, I looked at him, and I said, well, how does that land for you? How do you feel? No, I always confuse it. He said that black women are the only women that always talk about how independent they are. And I said, how did that land for you? He said, it needs to me, they don't need a man. They don't need us. And I said, and nobody wants to hear that. If we hear our men say something equivalent to that, will that invite us into their life? I don't think so. I think we have
what?
To be careful. We have to know we are interdependent. Independence is overrated.
Yes. Yes, and yes, and exclamation yes.
You know, you need Mr. Casey, and you let him know that. And
yes,
that's
I
why
do.
He's still there. If you don't,
yep.
In fact, there have been times that I didn't know how to let a man know I needed him. And I know when I do know how to do that, when I let a man know I need him, that man is a different man with me. He's a different man with me. Even a compliment. When the guy told me I was eye candy, I was mad. I looked at him. I let him know I like this. I like what you talk about, you know. You know, and I look at him and let him know. But, you know, you can't. Oh. So there are so many ways we can embrace this vulnerability thing. Let's have fun, Jackie. Let's have fun with this. Let's have fun with this, Sophia. Let's have fun with it.
I have a quick question for Sophia again.
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Sophia, when is your next book coming out? What was it called again? Trials, Truth, and Triumph?
Yeah, so it's called Fierce Vulnerability, and I'm going to hashtag that all over the world so it'll be easy to find.
That book is old now. I'm talking about your other book that's coming out.
Oh, no, that one's not out yet. That is my book. That's new.
It's the same
thing. I'm talking about your Trials, Truth, and Triumphant. I'm talking about that book.
Yeah, that's just a subtitle of Fierce Vulnerability. But I like how you're sticking it into existence. I'm going to have another
that's
book coming too.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hallelujah.
That's
you,
what I'm talking about. Yes.
So
thank
so
you.
So
I received that.
So, in other words, she has a tell all coming out. After this,
yeah.
Is that what you said, Jackie? Okay, got it. Oh, I
should have known. Well, Jackie, I love that Jackie said that because my vision for Fierce Vulnerability is that it actually was going to be a set of 4 to 5 books where each book highlights one of the characters' life, like from her point of view. So thank you. I received that. That's a confirmation, Miss Jackie. Thank you.
So thank you, Jackie. So thank you so much. Thank you for listening, and I love you. And so let's do this.
Beautiful.
Sophia, let's give them how people can get in touch with you.
Oh, yeah.
Any final words? But I do want you to know that, I wanted to ask you, like this thing that Jackie, she actually opened the door for it. Like, I do see a nonfiction book. If you're talking about it, you talk so beautifully about it. Fiction is wonderful. And I help people write books, so there you go. But anyway, we'll talk offline.
Oh, I need you.
We'll talk offline about that one.
So, yes, give out your information, how people can connect with you, because she's a coach, you guys. And as you can see, she would keep you straight, and you would have, she'll have fun doing it.
Mm-hmm. Look, I tell my, you know, when people want to have a sample session with me, and they're like, well, what is it like to work with you? I said, okay, let me think about this as a visual. So I hold your hand. Definitely hold your hand and help you with your goals. We're gonna make your dreams reality. We're going to do all of that. And at the same time, I have a cute pink boot that I'm going to keep in your back. So that's what it's like to work with me. It's a lot of love, but it's a whole lot of stand for you, too. So
I can see them looking at you if you're face-to-face, like, okay.
Yeah, oh, then most of them are like, okay, you're hired. So I'm like, so
exactly. I would say, because that's really the beautiful balance, because you do it with love.
Yeah.
But they,
I do it with
really
complete love.
You do it with
love. I truly
love
my clients so much. And actually, my clients, I will say that they teach me just as much about living vulnerably than anything else. Like being able to connect with them on a real level. You know, when they bring their stuff to me and say, you know, I've been dreaming about writing this book for 26 years. I had the whole plan, and I never did it. And then, you know, we start working together, and I keep that cute pink boot in their back, and then they write the book in 4 months. So I love how they teach me to be vulnerable all the time. So it's really easy to get in contact with me. Just my website is CoachSophiaCasey.com. And almost everywhere on social media, I'm Coach Sophia Casey. So that's the easiest way to find me. And if you want to call me, I don't mind putting my number out there. It's 301-437-DIVA. Yeah, okay. I'm vain. A hot mess, Deborah. So it's 301-437-DIVA.
Yes, you deliberately got that number, or it was accident?
Yes, and I actually asked for that number. Yep, many years, about 10 years ago. Yeah, and it stuck with me. So that's a fear side. That's me embracing that fear side. And if I can, I would love to read something for your listeners that just reminds me.
You got about a couple of minutes.
Perfect. It reminds me to be vulnerable. And it's by Marianne Williamson. One of my mentors from afar. She says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Who you are, a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Shows a blessing to my life.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sophia Casey. You have been awesome. I want to have
such
you back. Thank you, listeners. Be kind to yourself and go ahead and be vulnerable. And let's make it fun. You can make it fun learning how to connect with yourself and others. Until the next time, and we do have a nice show coming up next week, Pretty and Paralyzed. And her name
All
is
right.
Karina Farrell. And it's called she goes by Pretty and Paralyzed. And so I hope you will tune in next week for another fabulous show.
Thank you so much.
Everyone.